news time.
All right. Hey, guys. It's great to be back. I missed last week as I was away, but it's so good to be here again. Tom, can you mute yellow and purple for us, please? That'd be a win. Just a heads up, today's talk was going to be a bit complex. And I don't mean complex like really hard to think about. I mean complex like our bodies and our relationship with our bodies are really, really complicated. I don't know anyone who doesn't have a strange relationship, an uncomplicated relationship with their mind, their emotions, or with their body. But I thought it would be really just so helpful for us to be able to think deeply about what does God have to say about our bodies? That is, our physicalness, our mental kind of capacity, our emotions. What does God have to say? And you might not have thought about this much before, so I'm going to give us an opportunity to silently and individually reflect in a second on these questions. I'm going to read out two statements, and on your paper, you're going to mark roughly where you think you might stand on the spectrum there. So can we go to the next slide, please? The one on the left is, I think about the way I look too much. The one on the right is, I don't think about the way that I look enough. I know that for some people in this room, we might be like, if this is the end, looking all the way down there, because we just kind of think about the way we look all the time. And some people just truly don't care at all. And I'm not saying there's a good or a right answer. This is just to get us thinking, okay? This is to get us dealing with, what does our body mean to us? And what does our perception of our body mean to us? If you're chatting, now's the time to actually just cut that out completely. Thanks, you said. This is a way for us to kind of engage with what's going on. Next one. On the left, we've got, I find it easy to believe that I'm beautifully and intentionally made by God. And on the right is, I find it hard to believe that I am beautifully and intentionally made by God. Once again, I'm not looking for an answer specifically, but this is to get you thinking and grappling with some of these issues. And the last one, the one on the left, life as a Christian means I don't need to worry about my body at all because we're spiritual. And on the right is life as a Christian means I need to be really thoughtful about my body. Even though we are spiritual. Just to kind of get us thinking with what's going on. Now, it might be something that people in this room haven't really thought about. But I read the results of a survey done by some research people into like body image the other day. Can we get the next thing on the screen, please? And 45%, this survey was done late last year, published this year. 45% of young people aged 12 to 18 are dissatisfied with the way they look. That means that if it's this entire room, it is an entire half of us struggle with the way that we look. 70% of young people have experienced appearance-related teasing, particularly at school or online. And two-thirds of young people, 12 to 18, say that their body image sometimes stops them from doing activities. I just want to say right up front, it's going to be really helpful for us to slow down and to think deeply about what God has to say about something so serious. The bodies that we inhabit and the minds that we have. So we've got our outline here, and the outline kind of says the big idea. Our bodies are made beautiful, but they're broken by sin, and they're bought at a price. Our bodies are made, and they are made beautiful. Now, with any topic in the Bible, we want to be looking, number one, at what God has to say in creation. And so we're gonna think, in the first two chapters of the Bible, what did God have to say there? So in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we saw this read out for us earlier. Then the Lord God formed a man. He made him out of the dust of the ground. And God breathed the breath of life into him. And the man became a living person. The first thing we see about our bodies in the Bible is that God created them. Is that God chose to create humanity and to give us these weird things we call a body and these things that are in our mind and our emotions and everything like that. And look at the way that, look at how intimate and how beautiful this is. God breathed the breath of life into this man. God kind of almost gave some of himself as he created our bodies. And he created them and they were good.
The next verse we're going to read, which is the last verse of the previous chapter, God saw everything that he made, including people. God saw everything that he made, and it was very good. It was very good. Now, I create stuff every now and then. I made a sandwich today. It was pretty good. It was not very good in the same way that God created us. God created humanity, and he goes, that is way better than that sandwich that Josh has made. God says, your body is beautiful because I created you and you are very good. And the human body is just incredible. It's the peak of God's creation. It's the best thing that he could have ever made. Did you know that in our bodies we have about 160,000 kilometers worth of blood vessels? That's a blood vessel. If you took every single one of the blood vessels out of your body and stretched them end to end, you would be dead because you have no blood vessels in you. But they would circumnavigate the world four times. So go from like here to the other side of the world and back and do that three more times. That's how much is going on inside our body right now. Did you know that your mouth produces 1 liter of saliva every day? If you think about that, like if you get like a liter of milk and you imagine that being your saliva, if you just kept your saliva all day, that is proper disgusting, but really interesting. And did you know that your heart across your lifetime, if you live the average amount of years that a human lives, will beat about 3 billion times? And every single one of those heartbeats, God is saying, I created you and you are very good. I made you and I loved you. I'm here for you and I care for you. We are an intentional part of God's creation. Now, your body isn't just your outward appearance. It's your mental and your emotional strength and fortitude as well, just as much as it is the physical. God has created our entire selves and he loves our entire selves. And so for those of us who struggle with our body, for those of us who aren't happy with what you might see in the mirror or feel like you're not good enough, for those of us who don't feel comfortable joining our friends for a swim or putting a selfie on the internet, God wants us to know this. He doesn't make mistakes. He made you and he loves you. God created the human body and he said, yeah, very, very good indeed. So much so that one of the other Bible writers, he says this about what God has done. He prays this prayer to God. He said, you created the deepest parts of my being. You put me together inside my mother's body. How you made me is amazing and is wonderful, and I praise you for that. When it comes to the human body, David says, what you have done, God, is wonderful. I know that very, very well. Now, some of us in the room might say this prayer with a bit more heart and a bit more genuineness than others, and that's okay. But I want us to know that we are known and we are loved and our bodies are worth something to God. In terms of thinking about how good our bodies are, it would be foolish to miss out on the fact as well that Jesus actually chose to have a human body. Right? Like Jesus, the eternal Son of God, saw a human body and went, you know what? I'm happy to live in that for the entirety of eternity. I'm happy to take on human flesh. What a blessing that is as people, that Jesus would choose to be one of us, made in God's image, loved and known and stitched together. But it might be that some of these truths don't necessarily land in your life. Some of these things that we know are true don't line up with our experience. And that's because even though our bodies are beautiful, they are broken. Our minds, our bodies, our emotions are broken. And I don't have to labor on about this point too much. I think we all have experienced physical pain in our life. Some of us would have experienced things like poor mental health. We compare ourselves to others. There's the weight of expectation that we put on our own bodies that you need to be able to think so hard at school and then run so hard at training and then be really reserved enough for piano practice and also eat healthily and also stretch and also do mindfulness and also engage with your peers in a healthy way and also get at least 8 hours of sleep a night. It's so weary. It can be just so hard. And this isn't even to mention things like sickness, physically and mentally. It can be hard holding the tension that we are made beautiful by God, and yet we are broken. And there's so much pain and dissatisfaction in the world. I know I don't speak in this room assuming that everyone is free from pain and sickness at the moment, let alone in your entire lives. For those of us in the room right now who are experiencing the pain and the hurt of a broken body, I am sorry. But God isn't surprised by this. God isn't surprised, which is such a beautiful comfort. We're in Genesis 2 at the moment. Flick forward to the next chapter where we see the start of our bodies being broken. Adam and Eve, the representatives of humanity, go to God and say, and this happens, both of them, after they've chosen to live for themselves instead of God, both of them knew things they had never known before. They realized they were naked, and so they sewed together fig leaves and made clothes for themselves. One of the first things that happened after sin entered the world, which is where people choose to reject God and live for themselves, is their emotional well-being are affected. Their emotional response to kind of seeing their body is shame. And they hide from themselves and they hide from God. Soon after this, we have the introduction of pain and the physical world not being okay as well. Our bodies, not just mentally and emotionally, but physically are broken. I think we've got a verse next. We don't. Don't worry. Later on, as God is speaking to Eve, he says, I'll increase your pain when you give birth. You'll be in great pain when you have children. This is pain kind of entering the world. And as well, maybe more seriously, we see that our bodies have an expiry date, that we are headed towards death. In verse 19, you were made out of the ground. You will return to it when you die. This chapter of the Bible kicks off a spiral of suffering in our bodies that has seen human life literally broken. We get a taste over just the next few chapters. In chapter 4, we see Cain kill Abel. We see him take and crush his brother's body. We see him take what God has given as good and take it for himself. A few verses later, we see Sarah be unable to kind of have a child. We see the body not working the way that it originally has intended. And this is just in the first 12 chapters of the Bible. The Bible speaks of the human experience of pain because God is doing something about it. Even though our bodies are broken, it means that even though we are beautiful, sin has actually kind of infiltrated who we are and corrupted us. Which means that our feelings and our desires aren't necessarily lined up as well as they could always be. Our emotional responses to things might be a little out of whack. We'll touch on this a bit next week as I speak on gender. So if you're unsure about things like that, or you are sure about things like that, come along next week. It'll be super interesting. But for now, I'm going to quote this very dead man named Martin Luther. When we talk about our feelings, that's him. He's really beautiful. He says, you should not believe your conscience and your feelings more than the word which the Lord who receives sinners preaches to you. That is that our feelings are a good thing. They're beautiful, but they're broken. And God's word is not broken. And so we should always kind of weigh God's word over our own feelings. But there's good news. There's good news for people like you and I. I'd be doing a bad job if I just stopped and said, you guys are beautiful, but you're broken. See you later. Because there's good news for us because of Jesus. And the news is about him. That is the one who created our bodies we so often use against him. Jesus, the one who saw the human body as beautiful enough to dwell in for all eternity. Jesus, the only one who was without sin and chose to have his body broken for us. Because after Jesus took on human flesh, he lived the perfect life and then was tortured, betrayed, and killed. We see this in verses like 1 Peter 2 and Hebrews 10. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross. Next slide for us, please, Aurelia. In his body on the cross. We've been made holy because Jesus Christ offered his body once for all time. Because Jesus has a body like ours, as he was killed, he would have felt it. He would have hurt just as much when his closest friends betrayed him. He would have felt the real and the proper anxiety about his upcoming death. He would have gritted his teeth with every whip across his bare back. He would have struggled for breath on that cross. And he would have experienced the death that we all deserve, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. And he did this because he loves us. You might have thought about how significant it is that Jesus has a body before. And if that's the case, I'm so glad that you are here, but he's given it up for you. And in doing so, has purchased you to be his own. He has bought you for the price of his own body. We're just going to flick to three more verses in 1 Corinthians 6. So if you want to flick in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6, it's towards the end. And here we see this in verse 13. The body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord is meant for the body. Verse 15, don't you know your bodies belong to the body of Christ? 19 and 20, do you know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is, where is he? He's in you, and you have received the Spirit from God. You do not belong to yourselves. Christ has paid the price for you. So use your bodies in a way that honors God. Your body is important because Jesus bought your body with the price of his own. And that means that we, like the rest of us, our bodies and therefore our desires are not for us, but they are for Jesus in verse 13. They belong to Jesus. And we see there in verse 19 or 18, whichever it is, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, often you'll see people saying the body is a temple, and so they get heaps shredded and a huge six-pack and like can bench 800 kilos and things like that. They're like, yeah, the body is a temple. But actually, the temple was where people would go to meet with God, and it was God's dwelling place, God's house. And so the fact that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit means that our body is God's house. God lives in our body if we trust in Jesus. And so therefore, we are set apart, and we are holy, and we are completely for him. How good is that? And so we should be wise with what God has given us and wise with our body. Here's like three super quick practical tips about being wise with your body. Exercise. I've started exercising recently. Tom and I go to the gym every now and then. If you want to see me or him cry, come watch us. Don't do that. Exercise is so good for your physical and your mental health. We're created to kind of not just sit down all day, but to get up and to go around, and it gets the blood rushing. And I don't know anything about science, but everyone says exercise is good. Secondly, sleep well. Sleep is the best thing that you can do for your body. So do that and do it well. And thirdly, be mindful about what actually goes into your body. Now, I'm aware that you guys are junior high, but that doesn't mean that things like alcohol are not a temptation yet. If you are in a place where you're actually drinking alcohol as a 14-year-old, first of all, that's illegal, so cut it out. Second of all, that's actually just really not good for your young brain. And it's really not good to disobey the law and disobey Jesus when it comes to your body. So things like alcohol, when you are 18, have a drink in moderation. God made it as a good thing. But given that none of us in the room except the leaders are, cut it out. Be wise as well about things like drugs or cigarettes or vaping. God has made your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Why would you just put random crap into your body so that you can kind of do whatever you want? No, your body is not for you. It's for God. And so don't do stuff like this. I'll leave discussion groups to be a time where you might talk about maybe what the body means for you and your sexuality. We're going to touch on that later this term, but that might be a discussion group might be a helpful thing for this. But for now, please let me close with a story. Everyone, meet a fictional person I made up called Dahlia. She's not on the screen, but just imagine that she is. Dahlia is a 14-year-old girl. Every day she wakes up and she rolls over and she grabs her phone and she looks at Instagram and she spends some time scrolling. And in that like 2 or 3 minutes, she gets hit with about 4 or 5 ads that just punch her with an insecurity. You know that insecurity that you have that when you see the ad, you're like, ooh. She gets hit with that every single morning. During sport at school, she feels uncomfortable running in front of others, regardless of whether they're male or they're female. Dahlia's period started the day before, and so the cramps that she has in that moment are the absolute worst, and her body is just reeling. Lunchtime discussion is all about body image and how other people look like, and she can't stand it, but she joins in anyway because she has nowhere else to go. And when she gets home, she has plans to study but develops a shocking headache, meaning that she can't even open her eyes. Now, I might have just described your day today, and if that's you, I'm so sorry. I might have described some of the things that some of us deal with on a daily basis or a weekly basis, and I'm so sorry. But let's just have one quick look about how Jesus might transform the life of Dahlia. Every day she wakes up, and instead of scrolling Instagram right away, she spends 2 or 3 minutes just reading a few small passages of the Bible, reminding herself about how good God is towards her. And so when she sees those ads later on Instagram, she's actually more confident in her identity as someone who God loves, that she knows that God has made her body intentionally and deliberately. During sport, there's still that little bit of uncomfortability, but she knows that exercise is a great way to care for the body God has given her. And so her and her friends run and laugh together. Over lunchtime, she tries to shift the discussion away from outer beauty towards inner beauty. And so actually encourages and shares with some of her friends compliments on their way they are following Jesus, not just what they look like. She grits her teeth and bears through the period that she's having, but does so remembering that physical pain will not be a thing anymore in the new creation. And so as she's experiencing pain and suffering now, she has this hope that there's going to be a place where there will be no more pain or suffering. And the headache still hits her. She's able to cry out to God and say, God, this isn't right. But thank you that Jesus faced suffering like this for me. We might not all be like Dahlia, but I hope that today, as we've looked at what God has to say, there might be a few little things that maybe can shape the way that you love your body more, the way that you see how much God loves your body, that would use your body to honor the one who has bought you. There's lots we've talked about, so how about we pray? Let's pray. Great God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bodies that you have given us. We thank you that you've created us, that you don't make mistakes, that you know us and that you love us. And Father, we ask that you would help us honor you with our bodies. And we ask that in our pain and in our suffering, we would cry out to you and remember how good Jesus is. And we ask that we would be able to honor you, knowing that you are the temple, that we are the temple that you live in. And so would we treat our bodies the way you want them to be treated? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.